Welcome to the Are Your Hands Full podcast, a step-by-step parenting podcast for your Jewish family. My name is Dr. S. Yaroslavitz, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Please check out the most recent Are Your Hands Full download at www.handsfullchinuch.com. That's handsfullchinuch.com. I hope you're all enjoying this series and the topics that we are exploring. Please feel free to ask any questions that you have about parenting and behavior management of children with special needs by calling in and leaving a recording of your question. I'll be happy to address them in the order that they arrive to me. Just to recap, so far we've discussed the chicken and egg question of what comes first, behavior or emotions. We've discussed how to manage doctors' predictions. We've also discussed INB, ignore negative behaviors, and SWC, adolescents and preemies. And last time, we discussed the 40-day building blocks to structure, persistence, consistency, and growth. In general, lots of questions come in that address the phenomenon called sibling rivalry. Children born to the same parents fight. This is the way Hashem made the world. He actually wants it that way. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made it that way, right? Believe me, if Hashem would not want kids to fight, he would have set things up in such a way that each woman can only have one child and solved his population problems another way. But he chose not to. So let's find out why. Now, although sibling rivalry is a normal phenomenon, that indicates that the home that the parents are building is a healthy one, siblings of children with special needs often do experience difficulties that other children don't. So in order to address this multifaceted topic, I chose to divide our discussion into two lectures. This lecture, Lecture 8, will address sibling rivalry in general. Today you will hear a lot about why siblings fight with each other. Today's discussion will change your perspective and ultimately your reactions when your children fight, which they absolutely should. Next week in Mirtz Hashem, during Lecture 9, we will discuss siblings of children with special challenges, what their needs are, how much or how little of these needs should be catered to, and how their sibling rivalry should be managed. So in order to master the topic of sibling rivalry in its normal form, I'm going to have you listen to the chapter titled Sibling Rivalry in Are Your Hands Full audiobook, Volume 1, for children ages 0 to 10. Take a listen and enjoy. Although sibling rivalry is an inconvenience that often disrupts peaceful family living, it is a defining developmental factor for children. Thus, parents must completely understand sibling rivalry and the role it plays in a child's development so that they can approach it with the correct mindset. Sibling rivalry is the competition between siblings for their parents' emotional support and attention. Sibling rivalry is an indication of a healthy home. Following is a humorous, fictitious anecdote. Mazel tov! Avrami and Suri just finished their week of Sheva Brachas and were settling comfortably into married life. Suri was a superior and diligent wife who ran a perfect and spotless home while holding a full-time teaching position. She managed the laundry, ironing, and dishes and was always ready for Avrami when he came home from Kollel with an exquisite five-course meal. One year later, Hashem blessed Avrami and Suri with their first child. Suri continued to be the perfect wife while juggling her old responsibilities and the new baby. Avrami continued to come home each night to delicious meals, a calm wife, and a clean and happy baby. 18 months later, when the couple was blessed with a second child, Suri decided that her place was at home. She resigned from her job so that she could continue to be the perfect wife and mother. The children always looked picture-perfect in their coordinating outfits, and the house continued to run seamlessly. 18 months later, they were blessed with a third child,
and Suri continued to run the perfect home with a constant smile on her face. As their fifth anniversary neared, Suri prepared a gourmet dinner, an elegant cake, and a perfect gift for Avrami. Finally, the day arrived, and she coordinated all the details so that the children would be in bed before Avrami came home to this beautifully prepared event. All worked out to perfection, and at the conclusion of this wonderful supper, Avrami turned to his wife and said, "Suri, you are just wonderful. You have made me come to appreciate how beautiful a marriage can be. I was thinking that if one wife can make a man so happy, then two wives would probably even be better." "So," he said as he went to open the door, "meet Rifki." Suri tried her best to disguise her emotions, but Avrami must have seen them on her face. "Don't worry, Suri," he said. "Nothing will change. I will like you both equally. When I buy her flowers, I will buy you flowers as well. And when I buy her jewelry, I will buy you jewelry as well. I will treat you both exactly the same." Suri was in complete shock, but she wanted to be the perfect wife. And if this is what Avrami wanted, then she would make the best of it. Suri and Rifki did their best to coexist as perfect wives for Avrami. 2 years passed, and Suri's seventh anniversary and Rifki's second anniversary neared. Together, they prepared a lavish meal to honor the event. When Avrami came home, they enjoyed a beautiful meal together. When they finished, Avrami announced, "Suri and Rifki, you have been wonderful wives. You have worked together to make me the happiest of men. If two wives could make a man so happy, then three wives could be even better. Here," he said as he opened the door, "meet Ruchi." The door opened and Avrami's third wife, Ruchi, walked in. Avrami assured Suri and Rifki that everything would remain as before. He would buy flowers and jewelry for all of them and would treat them both as well as before. Suri and Rifki were dumbfounded, but without an alternative, they accepted Ruchi into their home and did their best to coexist. The firstborn child enjoys the privileges of being the only focus of doting parents. After some time, though, the parents tell this only child that he will not be the only child anymore. "Meet your new baby brother," they say. "And don't worry, we will all be one happy family. We will love you both equally. And when he gets a toy, you will also get a toy. And when he gets a treat, you will also get a treat." Every few years, this phenomenon repeats itself as we introduce a new wife into our children's lives. When Suri accepted Rifki and Ruchi into her home, she was definitely not forgoing the material gifts that can sometimes come along with marriage, since Avrami pledged that he would give gifts equally to each of his wives. Rather, Suri was giving up her emotional exclusiveness. She no longer enjoyed individualized emotional attention because she now had to share it with Rifki and Ruchi. Each child who joins a family can truly benefit from the undivided attention of parents. However, as each subsequent sibling is born, the emotional support of the parents is divided further, a phenomenon that is very difficult for children to accept. Sibling rivalry is all about parental emotional support. It is an open manifestation of the underlying friction that develops between children who find themselves in constant competition for their parents' love and attention. One of the ways we know that sibling rivalry is really friction that develops between siblings as they compete for parental love and attention is because it usually disappears once children get married. After marriage, when siblings gain individualized personal emotional support from their spouses, they can then become friends with each other because they are no longer competing with their siblings for their place in the sunshine of parental love. Sisters who fought over everything down to a pair of tights are usually willing to share their entire households with each other once they are married. The same woman who would never allow her younger sister to enter a room when she was single will invite and care for that same sister's five children after the sixth baby is born. Even more fascinating than this, though, is that after 50 or so years of closeness, sibling rivalry can re-emerge when children care for elderly parents or divide Yerusha after parents pass away. This phenomenon exists because once the parents become involved again, albeit passively, the sibling rivalry returns. Although sibling rivalry does not appear to be a pleasant situation, it is actually an indicator that the love that parents are transmitting to their children is worth fighting over. Do not get upset when your children fight. Sibling rivalry indicates that your family situation is healthy. It is important and very reassuring to note that children do not fight in times of crisis. If a family member is sick, Rahmana Litzlan, or if there is discord between parents, children usually do not fight. During the war years in Europe, sibling rivalry did not occur because children existed in crisis mode. An example of this can be found in the famous story of a 10-year-old girl who cared for her 8-year-old sister while they wandered alone and desolate through the freezing European wilderness. With just one coat to share between the two of them, each girl insisted that the other wear the coat. Since there was no parental love and support to fight over, these two young sisters protected and parented each other. The absence of sibling rivalry indicates crisis and is usually actually a signal of child stress. Although it seems unfair that children should have to learn to share a fundamental necessity such as emotional support, Hashem created the family structure and its multiple sibling base with this very purpose in mind. He did so in order for children to learn to cultivate critically significant social-emotional skills such as sharing, coexisting, tolerating, forgetting, and forgiving. Through interactions with their siblings, some of which can be quite stormy, children learn that they are indeed not the center of the universe, regardless of what they have been led to believe, especially if they were first born in their families. They painstakingly and with time develop proper midos that will ultimately assist them in marriage and other social interactions. For the first 20 years of their lives, Hashem has, in His infinite wisdom, enrolled our children in a home-based marriage and life preparation course. Living with siblings teaches children the skills that are necessary prerequisites for becoming unselfish spouses, giving parents, flexible co-workers, and effective leaders. Sibling rivalry is Hashem's creation. It is His way of honing our children's character traits and preparing them for marriage and life. In fact, children who do not have siblings may have difficulty mastering these skills spontaneously. Now that we understand the origins of sibling rivalry and the benefits it offers our children, we need to determine the best way to deal with it. An effective way to minimize sibling rivalry is to demonstrate parental love spontaneously and without any specific prompting. If children are consistently made to feel special without asking for confirmation, then they won't feel the need to elicit parental love by garnering attention via sibling conflict. Children should hear how much they mean to their parents and that they possess their unconditional love. They should know intuitively that each of them is so meaningful individually that their parents' lives would not be the same without them. Children should hear their parents praise their merits and point out their talents. This deep love should be expressed constantly throughout childhood and adolescence, particularly during private moments between parent and child. There is a famous story that illustrates this point. A child became trapped in a collapsed building as a result of a major storm and survived under the most difficult conditions. When he was found 2 days later, he was asked, how he had the strength to hang on to life under such circumstances. The child answered that his father had always told him that he should ever be lost. His father would never stop searching for him. The son knew that his father was searching for him, and so he was able to hang on to life. Hashem creates children with their own personalized blend of strengths, weaknesses, character traits, and personality, thereby making each child unique. Now, for a moment, imagine what it would be like if each child within the same family were identical. Would sibling rivalry exist? Yes, because siblings would still need to vie for their parents' emotional support. Would sibling jealousy exist? No, because each child would possess equal capabilities and qualities and talents. So sibling jealousy, what is it? Jealousy is the human desire to possess something that someone else has. Sibling jealousy erupts because siblings become jealous of something that another sibling possesses, such as an object, an opportunity, a talent, or a strength. Hashem chose to make each child within a family different. Therefore, children will not only demonstrate rivalry in vying for their parents' love, but they may also feel jealous of another sibling's superior attributes and strengths. Parents must discriminate between these two reactions and understand how to deal with each of them. The 10th Dibra of the Aseres HaDibros tells us, Lo Sachmod, you shall not covet. Shemos, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Gimel. If Hashem gave us this commandment, then it is incumbent upon us to abstain from wanting that which others have, and we must teach our children to control this desire as well. Most commandments in the Torah are action-based and instruct us what to do and what to refrain from doing. Emotions, on the other hand, are more difficult to control than actions. Thus, there are fewer commandments in the Torah that instruct us how to feel. Why, then, did Hashem include the very difficult commandment of Lo Sachmod in the Aseres HaDibros, when control of this emotion is so difficult? Which tool can help us control jealousy? All the commandments of the Aseres HaDibros are founded in Emunah. One cannot perform any of the Aseres HaDibros properly without Emunah, a solid belief in and dependence on Hashem. When an individual is jealous and desires something that someone else has, he has forgotten about Hashem momentarily. With the proper Emunah, one understands that Hashem has provided him with exactly what he needs, no more and no less. Thus, whatever we don't have, we obviously do not need. When we rely exclusively on Hashem, we have no reason to be jealous of others and of what they have. As parents, we must make sure that our actions demonstrate Emunah in Hashem. We must train our own minds to automatically switch to an if I don't have it, I must not need it mode when we see something that we desire. This will successfully eliminate the jealousy within us, and our attitude will filter down to our children. As we role model positive enactment of our belief, and thereby prove to our children that, in fact, Hashem has custom designed our lives and has given us the specific raw materials that we need to fulfill our individual roles, our children will absorb the message and learn to be happy with what they have as well. This mindset should be applied to material items as well as to talent, success, and life circumstances. I once observed this taking place while driving in the car with my older sister. We were driving to a store together with her teenage children who were chatting in the back seat. As they turned a corner, Tzippi said to my sister, Mommy, do you see that big house on the corner over there? My sister saw it. She probably couldn't miss seeing it if she tried. It was a big, beautiful house on a sprawling lot of land. That's Chani Moskowitz's house, her daughter continued. She has 10 kids in her family and they each have their own room. Why can't we have a house like that? Why do we have to cram 3 kids into each one of our bedrooms? Many thoughts ran through my own mind at that time. The first one was, of course, that I understood exactly what Sippy meant and would love to have a house like that, too. But then I heard my sister's response and was amazed. Tippy, she said, I am happy for the Moskowitzes that they have such a large house. If we would need a large house like that, Hashem would give us one as well. Wow, what a lesson! She not only strengthened our emuna, but she taught her children to believe that what Hashem gives us is just right. In addition to the strong foundation of emuna that is taught by means of this message, children will also learn that life does not always seem fair. Healthy adults know that they must learn to adjust their perceptions of fairness in order to live happy, healthy, fulfilling lives. Some people are rich, smart, or successful, and some are not. This concept can be very frustrating for children, as well as for adults who haven't yet been able to build up a stronger inner defense system. However, by helping children develop a strong belief that whatever Hashem gives us is best, we help them come to terms with jealousy and eventually enable them to successfully banish it. Parental role modeling in this sensitive area is the most effective way to teach this difficult lesson. Now that we understand why our children fight, we must react appropriately to their fighting, so as not to exacerbate the sibling rivalry and cause further episodes to occur. When you observe your children fighting with each other, take the following steps. 1. Observe and listen. Try to learn the details of your children's argument without directly asking for them before you attempt to deal with it. Often parents will scream in exasperation, "What's going on now?" without having any idea who is involved, what the fight is about, or whether there is any danger involved. 2. If the situation is not dangerous, stay out of it. It is best for the children to mediate their differences on their own. This will prepare children for marriage. 3. If the situation involves physical aggression or seems to be escalating out of control, use SWC to separate the children from one another and maintain the separation without comment, calmly and gently until both parties have calmed. 4. If your children bring the argument to you and ask you to decide who is right, do not offer judgment, but rather explain to them that, "I do not want to hurt either of you. If I side with you," point to one child, "then I will hurt her. If I side with you," point to the other child, "then I will hurt him. If I take a side, I will hurt someone. I love you both so, so much, and I do not want to hurt either of you. So you children will just have to work this out yourselves." 5. Continue what you were doing. The fighting will eventually stop, and the children will resolve the dispute on their own. Children fight in order to gain parental attention. Each child subconsciously hopes that the parent will choose to side with him, demonstrating that he is loved more than the other. Even if the child is aware that there is only a 50% chance that he will win this round, he is willing to risk an argument for the possible opportunity of getting that momentary extra dose of parental love and approval. Although the arguments themselves usually involve an external item, children are actually fighting over which child the parent loves more. Parents should not encourage such rivalry by taking the side of one child over another. When parents take sides, the child who did not win approval can feel emotionally devastated and will feel a stronger need to pick another battle in the hope of winning the second time around. The child who was validated will also seek to pick another battle in an attempt to reinforce that boost of love. In other words, the net result of parental involvement in sibling rivalry is that it will fuel additional fights. Is it appropriate for a mother to take off her apron and don a judge's gown, thereby making her home into a courthouse? Are our children on trial with prosecutors, defendants, eyewitnesses, and a jury? Children should not grow up constantly searching for justice. Life simply does not work that way. As adults, under everyday circumstances, we don't expect to be able to present our side of the story to a listener who will make a judgment about our claim at any given moment of the day. Rather, we know we have to work things out by ourselves. Our children must learn that we choose not to become involved in their disputes in the role of judges. Rather, they must learn to resolve their quarrels by themselves, regardless of what is fair and who is right and who is wrong. The solution to sibling rivalry is achieved when children master the necessary emotional flexibility and develop the requisite problem-solving skills that will enable them to work things out on their own. It is normal for children to experience difficulty facing the fact that their parents offer emotional support not just to them, but to their siblings as well. Children are entitled to want to be the only child, and parents should not perceive this need as selfishness. It is understandable that children may have difficulty coexisting with their siblings as they grow and develop. To aid in this process, Hashem also created a Bina Yisera to help mothers share their love among their children. Instead of feeling upset because children are demanding their undivided love, realize that you have just received the ultimate compliment. What greater proof can there be of a child's desire for his mother's love? And what greater proof can there be for parents that they are indeed building a loving relationship with their children than that their offspring are willing to fight for? Thanks for listening to my podcast.
My name is Dr. S. Yaroslavitz, and I am the director of Hands Full, which is committed to the provision of community education in the area of behavior management and cognitive development of children. I look forward to hearing from you with any questions that you have. And remember, no matter how impossible things may seem, the Earth will continue rotating on its axis.